In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump on Monday announced by tweet that Attorney General William Barr had submitted his resignation letter and that he would be leaving office 1 month ahead of his expected departure. Trump claimed, "Our relationship has been a very good one. He has done an outstanding job," end of quote. Even though the resignation came after weeks of reporting that Trump was itching to fire Barr, angry that he didn't echo the president's demonstrably false claims of mass illegal voting. Trump also announced that Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen would take over Barr's duties. Barr's resignation letter, akin to a love letter to the president, was filled with praise for Trump. He lauded him for a, quote, historic record, accomplished, quote, in the face of relentless, implacable resistance. He spent much of his letter attacking the president's critics and exaggerating his accomplishments in a manner very similar to Trump himself. Mr. Barr leaves behind a legacy marred by his obvious political loyalty to Trump in an office that's meant to be nonpartisan, leading his critics to characterize him as the president's personal lawyer rather than the nation's top prosecutor. We'll be examining Barr's legacy in more detail on our program. In other news, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's Vaccine Safety Panel has deemed a second company's product to be safe and effective. Moderna, a U.S. company that uses a similar technology to Pfizer BioNTech to develop its vaccine, has just passed the FDA's initial step that all but ensures formal emergency approval. The FDA is expected to make its decision by Friday, after which Moderna has plans to deliver 6 million doses. Although surveys indicate that American vaccine skepticism is falling, the Kaiser Family Foundation reported this week that about a quarter of all Americans vow not to take the shots. Vaccine skeptics include African Americans, rural white Americans, and Republicans, who likely have different reasons for their reticence. Internationally, Western nations have sparked an arms race for vaccines, clearing out stocks before poorer nations can access them. In fact, some nations are hoarding supplies that far outnumber their populations, in particular Canada, which has reserved enough vaccines for four times the number of its residents. The U.S. is close to procuring twice as many vaccine doses as residents. The death toll from COVID-19 continues to rise, hitting the grim milestone of 300,000 here in the United States, with one American dying every minute from the virus. The past month has seen a whopping 50,000 deaths alone. The Trump administration has taken a vaccine-only approach to the disease. While hope is on the horizon, there are likely to be hundreds of thousands more dead before the vaccines reach enough people to stop the spread. The disease has spread like wildfire through the White House and Trump's orbit, sickening untold numbers of people. Among them is Creed Bailey, director of the White House Security Office, who got so sick he had to be hospitalized for 3 months and suffered an amputation of his lower leg. Bailey, who apparently asked the White House to keep his condition a secret, now has mounting medical bills over which friends have started a crowdfunding campaign. Meanwhile, Tuesday is the last day for Americans to sign up for open enrollment at healthcare.gov to take advantage of an Obamacare healthcare plan. Trump failed in his attempt to repeal and replace the signature law. Interest in new signups during the pandemic has reportedly been high. On Monday, electors from all over the nation cast votes to reflect their state's election results, officially naming Joe Biden as president-elect. As voting took place, Trump, who remains resolute in his refusal to concede, spent the day rage-tweeting claims like rigged election and massive fraud. Mr. Biden gave a speech, saying it was time for the nation to turn the page on the Trump chapter.
"Very few predicted, even thought possible, the biggest voter turnout in the history of the United States of America. A number so big that this election now ranks as the clearest demonstration of the true will of the American people. One of the most amazing demonstrations of civic duty we've ever seen in our country. It should be celebrated, not attacked. More than 81 million of those votes were cast for me and Vice President-elect Harris. That, too, is a record. More than any ticket has received in the history of America."
That's President-elect Joe Biden giving a speech on the day that electors across the nation cast their votes, giving him 306 Electoral College votes. He chastised Trump for refusing to concede even after Trump tried and failed every avenue to win at his, quote, unprecedented assault on our democracy.
Thankfully, a unanimous Supreme Court immediately and completely rejected this effort. The court sent a clear signal to President Trump that they would be no part of an unprecedented assault on our democracy. Every single avenue was made available to President Trump to contest the results. He took full advantage of each and every one of those avenues. President Trump was denied no course of action he wanted to take. He took his case to Republican governors and Republican Secretary of State, as he criticized many of them, to Republican state legislatures, to Republican-appointed judges at every level.
That's President-elect Joe Biden on Monday. After refusing to acknowledge Biden's win for weeks, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday finally congratulated him, as did Russian President Vladimir Putin. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now scheduled to meet Antony Blinken, his likely successor, marking the first formal recognition by the Trump administration that its time in power is over. The battle to back Trump in his coup attempt, or not, has thrown the Republican Party into disarray as two sides battle one another. As negotiations over COVID-19 economic relief continue, Democrats are facing accusations of caving in to Republican pressure, dropping their demands for local and state government aid to be included in the package. They have backed a bill that will set aside only $748 billion, the larger of two bills that a $908 billion package was broken into. Meanwhile, the second part of that bill that combines local and state aid with McConnell's demand to protect corporations from liabilities includes retroactive immunity from worker lawsuits. Worker advocates slammed the provisions. California-based groups are worried that that aspect of the bill could undo the state's worker protections. Missing from all bills are the $1,200 stimulus checks for Americans. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders released a statement saying, quote, Congress cannot go home for the Christmas holidays until we pass legislation which provides a $1,200 direct payment to working-class adults, $2,400 for couples, and a $500 payment to their children. This is what Democrats and Republicans did unanimously in March through the CARES Act. This is what we have to do today. Sanders' sentiment is echoed by Republican Senator Josh Hawley. In other news, the New York Times on Tuesday reported that corporate TV networks like CNN and MSNBC are worried about their ratings in a post-Trump future. The president's aberrant behavior and violent rhetoric has made for a ratings boon for media entities. The paper spoke with numerous staff members of the two networks who shared their concerns. In international news, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani on Tuesday announced that he was willing to re-enter the Iran nuclear agreement during Biden's tenure, the same agreement that the Obama administration negotiated and that Trump decimated once in office. Mr. Rouhani said at a press conference in Tehran, what can be on the table is that everyone will return to their full commitments. Referring to the crippling sanctions that Trump imposed, Rouhani added, I believe that the era of the economic war has come to an end. And that does it for our headlines.